Return to Camp Blood, Episode 61, Calendar Girls, Friday Edition. This episode is brought to you by FridayThe13thFranchise.com.
Jesus Christ. Jason's alive. He killed my friend, now he's coming for me.
He's got a death curse.
Jason's a legend.
I'm Mrs. Warren, an old friend of the Christies.
Jason belongs in hell.
You're doing if you stay here.
Never come back again.
Today is his birthday.
Welcome to another episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Eric, joined by my fellow counselor, Nate.
What's up, guys?
And this evening we have a special guest, a horror artist and former drummer for First Jason himself, Congroy Padilla. How you doing tonight, Congroy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Pleasure to be here, man.
Not a whole lot. You know, we fans of the Friday the 13th series have come to realize that there are more things we expect to see as much as our beloved Jason. Certain aspects of the Friday the 13th series, like the horribly terrific music from Harry Manfredini, Friday the 13th has also been notorious for exposing the female anatomy. That is a character all of its own. I mean, who watches a Friday movie and doesn't expect to see the beautiful female body sans clothing? And tonight we decided that we're going to name off the girls that didn't seem to make it, but they bear it all to give us the joy that we wanted in a Friday the 13th movie. I wanted to point out that that there's some that will receive an honorable mention and some will actually make it to Return to Camp Blood's Calendar Girls. So we'll go ahead and start with the very first time that we see full female beauty. That's with Terry going into the lake and having a mischievous boy steal her clothing. But before he did, she decided it was a smart idea to swim in Crystal Lake, skinny dipping at night. It didn't fare too well for her. She's one of the top. She's beautiful women in the Friday the 13th series. I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, she's gorgeous. I remember her outfit was tattooed in my brain as a child.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I actually had to play like I was asleep during that scene whenever I was watching Friday the 13th with a couple fingers open.
And not to mention, I mean, with the outfit that she has on, that's always an iconic scene with her, you know, walking and everything. And plus, she was basically the trendsetter for all the films to follow.
Oh, definitely. She definitely had character.
I mean, she's the one that started, you know, she has that classic shot of walking with the short shorts on, and you know, that's an iconic shot. I mean, whenever, you know, you see iconic pictures of some of the women in the films, that's usually one that most people would recognize, is that still shot of, you know, walking behind with those short blue shorts on.
Now, does she do horror conventions nowadays? Does she do signings?
I haven't seen her attached to any recently. There might be some on the West Coast that I haven't actually seen her name attached to that I'm just not familiar with. But I really don't know what she's up to these days.
Oh, it would be fantastic to have her around the convention circuit. I'm sure a lot of people, including myself and us, would love to meet her. Hope she's doing good today.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You guys remember Melissa from Part 7, the beautiful blonde?
Yes, how can you forget her?
Oh, that was my dream crush as a kid.
The problem is she was kind of sadistic and mean.
That's why I like her. I need someone to be sadistic and mean.
Well, to each their own, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we get Debbie in Part 3 and the infamous shower scene and needing a beer when she's pregnant. And some
yes.
Some guys dig it. Some guys do.
I think Debbie, in all honesty, personally, I think she's the most prettiest Jason victim from the whole series. But that's just me. I think there's something about her that's just so attractive. Like, I don't know. She's very, very good. I want to meet her.
Yes.
I want to meet her. Yeah. Like, now, let's go to her house right now.
Well, I would definitely have to agree with that. I mean, out of the original, you know, 80s installments, I would have to agree. You're definitely right on that. She's definitely in a league of her own there.
Yeah, she glows. And I would like to see other films she's been in. I have never really researched her, but I wonder what else she's in. That's something to look in after the show, you know? Oh, Vera Sanchez. Hot, hot, hot. Beautiful.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Part three. I mean, there were several in there, obviously. You know, we can't leave Dana Kimmel out of there either. So, you know, there was several in that film that really stood out.
And it really doesn't take the nudity to show the beauty, especially as an adolescent male growing up watching these. All it really takes is being able to see beautiful females. Unfortunately, they tend to get hacked to pieces in the Friday series.
Yeah.
Well, and if you look at the scene in part three with Tracy's character, with the character of Debbie, that shower scene is pretty tastefully done considering the circumstances of the film.
Of course. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like they had set it up for a complete psycho homage, and only you get a pair of feet standing upside down at the shower curtain. And
I'm curious to know now, how many weeks was she pregnant? Because she was the Shauna Belly.
You know what? That's something I've never heard debated.
And does the baby include Ezekiel?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That is a very good question that might need to be addressed.
Yes.
I need answers, you know what? People.
That is not listed on Jason's official body count kill. You know, the kill list that you see, you know, if you look online, sometimes you see pictures and it's got the body, you know, the body count kill list. That is not on there. So I think we definitely need to address that.
They need to have a picture of an ultrasound on their dead baby.
I'll tell you what, Congroy, that's a good point, though.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, Alexis, the girl from the beginning of Jason Goes to Hell. Remember? She goes pee, and then, boom, gets killed.
Very well.
Very attractive. Great actor, you know, very talented. And Alexis stands out till to this day. I actually remember seeing Jason Goes to Hell at the theater with my parents, and I was just like, I can't wait to get older and someone like Alexis to give me a ride, you know, in a car. I'm like, yeah, come camping with us. Sure, I'll go camping.
Right. Well, I think the main thing for most of the viewers, like, you were able to relate that to a specific thing, you know, like going to the movies with your parents or whatnot. And I think that's how it is with most of the viewers or most of the fans, is they have a specific favorite based on something that's memorable for them, just like what you just said.
Well, yeah, of course. It brings us back to like a certain time in our lives where Jason does never die. He doesn't, because he's going to live on our memories, you know, and go on. Our children are going to watch these movies once they're older. It's just, they're going to remember watching it with their parents, which is us. And it's just hopefully it continues, you know?
Oh, definitely. It's definitely a timeless thing. I mean, that's the best way to explain it is, you know, Jason never dies. He's never going to die.
And I just love that aspect of him. And in part four, the final chapter, you got some really, really good shots of the female perfection, with the double mitt twins for one.
Yeah. Tina, right? Tina and, Terry, right?
Tina and Terry would be correct. Yes.
Yes. The hottest twins in Camp Crystal Lake.
Absolutely. And how could anybody forget the homage to Friday the 13th Part 2 and Terry's scene with Judy Aronson's character, Sam, who bared all and walked down the sand, got into the lifeboat. And I mean, I wouldn't even, I'd be covered in mosquitoes. I don't understand that, but it's Friday the 13th, so we'll go with it.
Definitely.
And
it must have been such a great time being on that set. The character Terry, Sam, Sandra, part two. It's like must have been awesome. As well, I wish I had a time machine.
Oh, no doubt. Huh?
Of course. I mean, can you imagine being on any of the film sets for that matter? But I think the thing with part four also, since we had mentioned that, you know, in some of the opening, I guess, scenes, if you want to call it that, or let's just say the beginning of the film, where you have the references of don't be a dead fuck. It kind of leads you to believe you're going to see a little bit more than what you actually do see in the movie. I don't know what you guys' thoughts are on that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a great foreshadowing to Siri. But yeah, I mean, it completely labels Christian Glover as it completely shows Christian Glover's silly side and how one of the Doublemint twins fell for him because Polly couldn't cheat on Sam, but you know, it ended up he wasn't a dead fuck until Jason corkscrewed him and cleared him, and you're done.
Yeah, yeah. I just think, you know, with them repeatedly saying that it kind of gives you the idea that you're probably going to see, you know, maybe a little bit more skin than you've seen in some of the other films.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Nikki from Part 6?
Oh, Part 6. Part 6 being my favorite one. Absolutely. I love Part 6.
Nikki. You know?
It has slowly grown on me, and Darcy DeMoss's character, even though she didn't bear all, she bared enough that me as a kid looking at her, and I thought, beautiful.
Well, definitely. Yeah. Eva from Part 8 was beautiful too, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not really going in a certain order, but
yeah,
the one that I have to absolutely give top billing to as the best would have to be Deborah Sue Voorhees, since she was the only Voorhees in Friday the 13th Part 5.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Well, I think most people are going to agree with you on that. I mean, her scenes in the film are just, everybody deems those as, you know, being the classic shots for exactly what we're discussing right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And
that's regardless of the last name. You know, that's an awesome coincidence. But obviously that's not the reason, you know, why she made those scenes great. I mean, that was, you know, obviously for other reasons that you see on film. But the last name is definitely a cool coincidence.
Yes, it was. Then we move on to part 7, or part 6, excuse me. We've already touched on that. Part 7 gets an honorable mention because of the girl Jason decides to throw out a window, since he loves doing that so much. And her name escapes me right now.
Robin? The character Robin?
The character Robin, yes, sir. When she gets thrown out, she shows her boobs and then out the window. Jason had enough.
Definitely one of the best scenes in the franchise.
It really is. I love it.
Nathan's in shock. It's all coming back to him. It's flashbacks. This scene, Robin. Too much, you know, from.
You know, that is a great scene, but you know, that part 7, you know, I love part 7, but it's you know, the, I guess, for the sake of the conversation, we obviously don't see some of the similar things that we see in the prior films, except for basically that particular scene. So mm-hmm. I don't want to say the film's lacking by any means, because some of them just simply don't show the same amount of skin that the other ones do. But that scene in itself is definitely a great scene.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Judy too. Judy, you know, she was pretty and she was in 7. I remember that. Right. I'm right. Right. That girl Judy was in part 7. I know it was Robin, it was Judy, I can't remember the other names.
Melissa.
Oh, yeah, Melissa, the beautiful blonde, you know.
And mean as all get out. That seems to be the going thing.
Hey, you know what? You and I both know some people just like assholes. That's just how it is.
This is true. This is absolutely true. Okay, so in part 8, we don't see a whole lot, save for the beginning with Susie, and we get to see everything that we want to see from a Friday movie, even if we don't get a lot in the rest. And so therefore she's already up there in the rankings as, she's in the top five, no doubt. I mean, for me, let's see. Then, part nine, Jason Goes to Hell. The girl in the tent that gets ripped in half. I mean, that's just a waste of a gorgeous body. It truly is.
Are we talking about Deborah, the beautiful girl in the tent?
Yep, we sure are.
Yes, one of my most faves. You're expecting it, but if you've never seen the scene before, you're not expecting it like that. Well,
and that's just the magic of Greg Nicotero right there. I mean, that scene alone blew me away. And it was enough for me to go from not disliking Friday the 13th or Jason Goes to Hell the Final Friday to breaking it down and enjoying it and enjoying the practical effects and throughout the entire movie. It's just phenomenal.
Well, definitely. The process to that one scene alone, I'm sure, took weeks. You know, I'm sure they had to like do a body cast of her whole body. And then Greg Nicotero had to like split it open and put like all these guts in there and everything just to get the effect just right. So it hits the tent and goes through the cast of the body. You know, I know it's played by different scenes, but just the effects when it's all mixed together and Deborah's body splashes all inside the tent and all this blood splashing on the guy too, freaking out. That's just wild. I always thought that scene was wild.
Yeah, that's just a perfect Nicotero scene.
Yeah, they did a great job on that. I mean, as far as the time frame goes, you know, I don't know. It probably did take some additional, you know, it was an extensive shot, so I'm sure it did take a while to do. But regardless of how long, they definitely nailed it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They absolutely did. And then we move on to Jason X. And we don't see a whole lot from the regular actors, but the hologram girls wanting to have premarital sex and dive into sleeping bags have to get an honorable mention because they were in a Friday and we got our fill, albeit through a hologram, but we got what we exactly wanted to see from a Friday movie and Jason X.
Now, guys, I wonder, can we buy holograms like that nowadays? Because if you
have wish.
Please let me know.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
Well, but you know what? Nowadays, I mean, anything's possible, so we probably can.
Yeah. Well, next best thing will probably be a photo op.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Hell, I'd take that over anything.
Adrian? Am I saying that right? From Jason X? Adriana? Was her name Adrian or Adriana? From Jason X.
Adriana.
Yeah, right? Adriana. Yeah, she was awesome.
Most definitely. She was gorgeous, but she being a final girl, she's not allowed to bear anything. All she can do is barely put makeup on, not swear, and do what it takes to postpone Jason's movement.
Was she the cyborg? Was she? I thought that was another one. Because wasn't Adriana, the blonde, wasn't she blonde or redhead? I can't remember. I'm trying to think. Wasn't she like doing a little autopsy on him at one point?
It wasn't Adriana. It was just Adrian, if I recall
correctly.
Yeah,
something like that. I can't remember. I don't remember.
Yes, it was Adrian.
Yeah, she was very cool.
And you know what? I kind of wanted to see what KM14 looked like. Sans clothes. Maybe I'm weird. Maybe I'm weird. I know she's a robot.
Well, fuck. We know you're weird. That's not even a question here. You wouldn't be doing this show if you weren't a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, I think you joined the club, man. Because you know.
And I know. And hey, and you know what? I know Congroy personally, and he's fucking weird too. So both of you are weird. How you like that one?
I like weird. It gives us a sense of feng shui.
Yeah. Well, I remember that line from Freddy versus Jason. He's like, I like your feng shui. that girl that Jason kills right in the beginning. You remember from Freddy versus Jason, Heather. Remember this opening shot where she's like, she unzips her top off, well, unbuttons her top off, and she does little dance, and she jumps in the water, and you're like, she's definitely getting killed by Jason. And sure enough, you just see Jason coming straight out of the mist. Ken, dressed as Jason. First time anyone sees Jason in Friday the 13th, I believe, right? And then she gets it, you know, right in the trees. Boom. Now that girl, they never mention her name. But I remember, I was like, that character has to have a name. And they named her Heather from Freddy vs. Jason right in the beginning.
And Catherine Isabel had a minus clothes scene, but she doesn't get an honorable mention since it was a body double. And she wouldn't actually do it, so she doesn't even receive an honorable mention.
Wow.
Then we move on to the reboot, and I think that everyone's favorite scene that is a little twisted and a little wants to see what's going on and what it's all about is the scene between Trent and Bree, and her body was stupendous.
2009 remake. Absolutely. That film, I mean, that one is by far, you know, contains way more than any of the other films. And I haven't had any discussions with anybody from the film to ask if that was done on purpose. You know, if they were maybe trying to set a new tone for any films to potential films to follow. But that one by far, obviously, I mean, with the opening scene and with the scene with Bree, I mean, those two in itself probably contain more skin footage than all the other films combined.
Oh, definitely. That,
definitely. So, guys, before we wrap it up, who would you put as number one in the Calendar Girl Friday edition?
Ooh, Congroy, I'll let you go first on that one.
All right. Well, this is definitely one of those answers where if you ask two people, you get three different answers. You know.
So let's. How about we just do this? How about you just name your top three?
My top three would definitely be, all right, number three would be Terry from part two. Number two would be Melissa from part seven. And number one, for me personally, would be Debbie.
Those are all definitely good choices. I'm going to have to go, once again, tough decisions all the way around. Number three, I would probably have to give to Catherine Isabel. Just in the big picture, regardless of what you see, great character there. Number two, I'm going to have to give to Megan in part six. And number one, I have to give to Debbie in part three.
Definitely awesome choices.
Yeah, absolutely. And my three, I would definitely have to put Terry in at number three, Bree from the reboot. And then, you know, I can't not credit the beautiful Deborah Voorhees, as being the number one bare all dead girl of Friday the 13th.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, the options are, you know, there's so many of them to choose from, and there's so many great characters. I mean, a top three almost isn't fair. You almost have to have basically a top 10, you know, or top five at least.
Oh yeah.
But,
oh yeah, I agree.
I would love to mention one we haven't mentioned at all throughout the show that just popped in my head right now, Nurse Morgan, because everyone needs a good nurse.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
The final chapter.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that too. And, you know, some of these characters, I mean, obviously we're kind of talking about, you know, some of the flesh or skin, you know, scenes that you see, but some of these other, you know, characters, they didn't show anything at all, but they're not any less attractive than the others by any means.
Yes,
so they definitely deserve their credit too.
I absolutely couldn't agree more. And
that's kind of why I threw Megan in there, you know, from part six. I mean, part six is my favorite from the franchise, but I mean, she's just, you know, she's just a great character in general and probably one of the most underrated in the whole franchise, really, as far as that's concerned.
Oh, definitely. And she definitely has two boots on the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you guys have any final thoughts on this matter?
I think Jason's one lucky son of a gun.
To be a fly on the wall, huh?
I guess one thing I just like to throw out there is I hear a lot of people always referencing the nudity scenes in the franchise in general, and you know, in my opinion, I don't really think there's as much nudity as what people think that there is. Yeah, I mean, obviously there is some of the films, but if you look at a span of where we sit at right now, you know, with 12 films, you know, minus the 09 remake and what you see in that, because that one is a step above everything else. But all the films prior to that, if you look at the totality of those, I just don't think that, you know, the references that people make about, you know, the nudity and the sex scenes in the Friday the 13th films, I really just don't think it's in as big of an abundance as what most people who might not have as much knowledge about the franchise. I just really don't. I don't really think it's as much as what people think that it is.
Oh, of course.
I could not agree with you more. Great point. And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap this show up. Please rate and review and subscribe wherever the hell you listen to the show. If you want to support the show financially, head over to campbloodpodcast.com/donate. If you have a question or a theory, you can hit us up at campbloodpodcast.com/feedback or comment on the show notes at campbloodpodcast.com/61. A special thanks goes out to the Downriver Rat for our intro and outro music. You can check out his music at thedownriverrat.com. Until next time.